Okay, end of war. So the end of war story. When it starts, a chapter, a book, or whatever, or rather, it could be the next chapter. We have introduced Maria, which it seems like she's called, named. And she's going out on her new journey in life. And that's where this kind of ends. She's appearing there in this, in some fine situation among leaders. Because she can go anywhere. She has this special VIP pass. And then we'll see her at the end of that chapter, like twinkling her eye towards us. Time to try to do something good for the world. Are you with me? Anyway, so the next chapter then is End of War. And it's not that this end of war story is all contained in one chapter, but it starts in that chapter. So the chapters are kind of introducing new levels to the story. And then we find her, Maria, or we could just start with this other funny character named Rick. Yeah, the chapter can start on this high society party. Time for partying. So then she's mingling with, being introduced, a little, you know, the style you see in the movies, talking, you know, with a little glass in the hand, and to these big ones, the president, and the, or he's standing over there, so, you know, the vice president, or big rock stars. Mick Jagger, maybe. That would be good. This mix there. And really influential politicians and big business people. So, and these Because she is good looking now. In fact, gorgeous looking, because she just sneaked into one of those beauty parlors, ask them to do their thing. She checked her account, because that's of course included in all this, a private account for the boss. And it was like $1 trillion or something. But he told her also, you know, this is the account, but it's the, my private spending account, so. You can always set aside more from the company. Things like that. So she has this counter with $1 trillion on it, and which is also very kind of discreet, offshore and all that. But anyway, then she thinks, okay, maybe I'll start here. She goes into a fine one in the mall, the expensive one, where the real rich people go. And she asks, you know, are you good at this? Well, the best in the world, probably, at least the best in town. And another girl says, you know, we've got the biggest movie stars. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, what can we do for you? And then she says, well, movie star sounds a little kitschy. Just make me into me, myself, when I'm blooming. Oh yeah, says this young, actually creative beauty artist, or whatever you call them. Could be a girl or someone in between. You must be woke, you know. So anyway, there she is, party, and that's where the first chapter ends. And the next one then, yeah, there she is, and she's gorgeous looking. That's what I wanted to emphasize here. And she could do it as a mask. So then she's got this handsome actor men, you know, really the top level of a Hollywood dream man coming up one after another. And here we can throw in these Rip Kirby types, all kinds of types. Could even throw in a Schwarzenegger old. But still, yeah. Or something like that. Stallone. Anyone. I mean, and then she's not really, she's kind of polite, but not that interested. Or rather, another odd figure. Catches her attention, and this should be Rick. Now, I know now how Rick looks like. He looks like a mixture between Robert Crumb and Robert Campagnola. Thick glasses, thin, tall, lean, a little forward hung over, shy looking. Even a bit, to be honest about it, Asperger looking, such as some of those geniuses are. Einstein was, as far as I heard. So he's that kind of type. Yes, I think we should be in New York City now. So anyway, then he's standing there with three or four or five also nerding looking people, and they remind her a bit of her hacker kind of gang. The mind hackers, or whatever they call themselves. Or the awares. But, well, that's a secret. Hidden, existing or non-existing network. So that they have some name. Social hackers or whatever they are, that's maybe even better. But so she kind of becomes a little interested. Who is this guy, and why are they listening so attentively to him? So she asked one of those Rip Corby types, and said, "Oh, some kind of genius." "Hey Rick, how you doing?" "I'm okay." You know, here you have this thin, nerdy-looking guy and this he-man. This could look like even the way it looks in Crumb's comics. And yeah, Rick is a bit artistic too, in the way that such guys often are. Programming funny things also. So, but visibly shy. And then the man says something like, "You know, this guy is legend. He was one of the programmers of the computer in the Apollo moon ship, whatever, capsule." And Rick is like, So, but one thing could be then that she wants to talk a little bit more with him, because she noticed that he has these neck beads. These beads around his neck, which is not so common for people in this environment, with suits and all of that, looking nerdy. You could have, you know, balcony or something, and he's standing there, and she comes out, and they talk a little. Also a little Hollywoodish scene, but not the romantic, just, you know, two people standing there who have something in common, they share something there. And yes, they will become friends. Just good friends. And he tells her that, yes, so, you know, she may ask, "Oh, maybe I should ask, what are you doing?" As we sometimes do. And he says, "Well, not much use of that, because most of what I'm doing is secret, high security clearance, whatever." "Oh, really?" she says. "Well, I'm pretty secret myself, so..." That makes two of us. And then he looks at front up, you see there, you know, the cityscape, the high buildings, and, you know, just a typical New York nightly or late evening scene. Skyscrapers, lights and windows, patterns, signaling great opulence and power and creativity and all of that. So he just looks out over that and talks something. You have no idea. Or do you have any idea what's going on behind the screen here? And she said, well, I spend most of my times in front of screens. And yeah, sometimes this feels more like a VR game than reality. And he looks, what? Did you read Vedic philosophy or? And she said, not really. But I saw Avatar. And he goes like, yeah, well, that could have been much better. I was a bit disappointed, actually. You know what, where the word Avatar comes from? When someone, generally some form of God, from the world outside, the real world, now I start looking at her strange, enter this world. May act as an ordinary human being, but actually being not belonging to here. And that's how we are also. And so we are in those VR games with our avatars. And he gets going. Maybe she doesn't really understand it perfectly, but she follows. This is a much more interesting discussion than. And then maybe Elon Musk comes in. Hi, Elon. I should talk to this guy here. He will tell you that this entire world is a simulated reality. And she looks out over that cityscape and yeah, fascinating thought, but I'm interested in science and facts and all that. Well, there is science behind this, says Musk. This guy from Oxford wrote that paper, and then Rick says something quickly there, and he's not talking the way I could have been doing in my book, cosmology book. You know, in these ancient life and consciousness-based cosmologies as actually quantum, the fathers of quantum physics also concluded the forms we see in this world are not made of little building block fragments, but it's a wholeness, an energy. And they say, you know, we don't know what's out there actually, because all we are seeing now is an image in our minds. So as Mr. Bohr said, we can only know our experience of the cosmos. And you know, that experience is sound, audio, visuals, touch, taste and smell. So that's all that matters, really. That we are experiencing those sense perceptions. And when they are persistent and vivid enough, we call it reality. And this is how virtual reality and the games works as well. And he's getting a little bit too long here, so the others, Elon Musk or whoever, if you want to bring him in, you know, it's like twinkling an eye to the girl. He's like that, you know, he gets a bit talkative. Oh, gotta go. And then she goes on there. Because she's mainly like floating around and interesting things happen around her. And when she's done for the day, she's back there in her cool young home. Little young, back, you know, all this makeup and stuff is gone. And she's herself again. Does she have a boyfriend? I don't know. Maybe share, you know, like the students do, you know, they have a roommate. You know, the girl who shared an apartment on Lower East Side or something. And then some day, she's walking down there in the street and on Second Avenue. And she meets Rick. And they both kind of said, well, a little bit odd environment during the shoot. She says, oh, I'm living up there, a little north. Oh, Upper East Side. Well, kind of a little bit more upper, but she's on the Lower East Side, actually. Because she was just a lowly IT technician. Network technician and all that. So she just, but she feels at home there with her friends, and she just lives there. Although she's got a trillion on her dollars on her account, and some pretty cool pay cards. And you too, she says, well, I'm on my way to 26 Second Avenue. The match just gives. Interesting, we will meet just outside here. What is this place? And you see the Hare Krishna sticking out his head. Well, you know, first time I came here was in 68. And it's pretty cool. It used to be a Tiffany shop, and then it was taken over by this Indian monk who said he came here to give the matchless gifts of Indian Vedic wisdom, Eastern wisdom, to us fallen souls in the West. And some young hippies helped him to get this storefront. And he said, just keep that sign. And what started in here is the Hare Krishna movement. Oh, really, I heard about them, yeah. I sometimes go on there Sunday feast, just nostalgia. This is where it all started. Funny in the eyes of Westerners, but some very deep, valuable wisdom you can find in the books in there, just to remember things like that. And then now we're actually in that end of war chapter, right, or where it starts, so we can go on from there. And here we have introduced more characters, and we also build up that, kind of present that scenario there about what's going on in the world. And she soon finds out. And we got our P.O. talking to his friends. to the lady there in the cafe, trying to tell her how this is the end of colonialism and it's much bigger than it looks like. It's, you know, as soon as there is another Hitler announced all over social media, be a bit careful. And she said, but he did that and he did this and that. And they are arguing a little bit, but he's too tired for that. So anyway, you believe what you want to believe, but I'm just saying we need to wake up now, because these fancy media we are sitting looking at all the time, they can be used for propaganda purposes also, you know, as it always was with media, and more powerful so than ever now. I'm just trying to tell you this is what's going on right now. Some people want war and they want us to fight it for them. So he's sitting there, or our children, because they're both old. So there again, we kind of give a first introduction to the war thing, maybe in the first chapter, but I think in this next one. And she said, no, I don't believe in that, I don't believe in that. And their meeting is over, and then Pio was out there and remembers when he was a kid, standing there looking into the toy store window. That was important for him, that toy store, when he was a kid. They had incredible things there. Phew, I want to make that toy store. And there he is, 9, 10 years old or something, or even smaller. No, not less than 8, 9, I think is perfect. And he's back there, and we tell a little story about his childhood, his guy who dropped down into this world, into this small town. There had just been a Second World War, and there was scare of the nuclear bomb. But now people, they just didn't care. Although, and that's what made him a little desperate there, and kind of also ended their coffee talk. As I say, you know, there, we've never been so close to a nuclear Armageddon as now. And back in the 60s, with the Cuba crisis, the whole world was shaking in fear, but now people are just taking selfies and binge watching romantic comedies. So he's a little like that. But then he remembers back to, yeah, and then he remembers the Cuba crisis and all of that. Kennedy and this and that. And then whoops, as we are turning back to the big America, we're again meeting Rick, but up there in the secret chambers with the vice president and the big generals, and they're discussing this, a big crisis going on here. And you can, then you have it there from the president. He is completely unqualified. You can see that he's a kind of Trumpish character or old cowboy. Could be the old cowboy of senile, and then comes the new one, or whatever, whoever is there. We don't notice him that much. He's just like an actor doing the show outwards. This is where things are really going on. And then you have these young, ambitious minister types around the president who are attending that meeting. And then the military people who are realists in that sense, because they know what's at stake, lives and all kinds of, I mean, very, very heavy things can happen. So they're like two sides of the table. And there's Rick. He's now a kind of real high security clearance AI expert, because of course they are discussing how will AI be used, how can AI be used by us and the enemy. But who is the enemy? Well, it's those over there. And but then you may have one of those military men talking like Daniel Davis, or those officers that you hear on YouTube. So, you know, they and telling this the truth of that story, and you can see that the other military, they also can see that clearly, but they don't dare to speak up. And these young upstarts, they're living in a complete illusion, denial, with an alternative reality. So we can show that in this room there. But then also how the magic of AI and all that, and you have our Rick there, who is one of the absolute biggest experts. He's been studying AI since late 60s. Within the top level secret chambers of the military. So that's an interesting scene for it. And then we go on from there. We are following our fair lady, our POs there a little bit, but maybe not so much. And this one, he's there when we want to show the small town people in Sweden, but also the free thinkers of Sweden, because he's of that generation. And as we shall know later, he is one of those Hare Krishnas. Rick maybe isn't, he's just has taken it as a good habit to go to the Sunday feasts. He's been living there in New York. Now, of course, in finer areas when he was a student, maybe, you know, he was living more closer there to the Lower East Side. Or some friends of him took him to that cool temple. So that's as much as you hear about the Hare Krishna at that time, that point. But Pio, well, we will later learn about him, and there is this kind of indirect connection between him and Rick there. Or maybe direct. He got some good ideas for cosmology and all that. But anyway, story goes on. And how many chapters we want to spread this out on, I don't know. Let it come naturally. But the end of this book, would then be when someone stands there and has to make the decision, should I push that button or not? And around him and her stand these different powers, you know, the old war-hungry generals who think if we push it now we will win, we are, what do you call it, this preemptive strike and all that talk. Or it could be the AI button. Or maybe that's a later one, I don't know. But some button to be pushed. And, you know, some could argue, you know, trust AI. As we used to say, trust science. Trust AI, trust AI. So you push that button and you are not responsible because the AI will make the decision. And it's a big thing because what will the AI say? And you have the press and the media, they make a lot of money. Everyone wants to know. And there's politics, demonstrations, almost domestic war. Or maybe it will break out if you push that AI button, things like that. And they told you AI will destroy everything. So then, will that button get pushed? Well, maybe it gets pushed. And that's the end of the book. To be continued. Yeah. And the next book, is that, could be the Peel story, yeah. And we introduce the Cow Island. Yep.